Jerusalem, how I long for you to gaze at your wall.
Well, I have some exciting news this week. Actually, two things of exciting news. Number one, I will be in Gloucester Point, Virginia this coming weekend, this Shabbat with Barry Phillips and House of David. This is their 20th anniversary of the congregation, and Barry has invited me to come up. I've heard, in fact, I've seen, there's a picture board, and he has pictures of me from 1999. I'm going to try to steal them off the board and make sure that they go away. Nobody ever sees them again. But the other thing is that Life on Purpose podcast is now a reality. We've been uploading the episodes. In fact, right now I'm uploading one as I teach. This has been a project that I've been working on for about a month now, straining a few brain cells to get it done, but it is a reality. We've recorded now the trailer and also three episodes. The first one is online right now. The second one is about to be, as I'm recording this on Tuesday morning. And the last one will be on later in the week. That you can go to, we're on Apple Music, Amazon, Google, we're on iHeartRadio podcasts, pretty much, you know, dogsled.com. I don't know, I need to see if there's a dogsled.com. Somebody will probably be, you know, typing that out right about now. And you'll send me a link if there is one, I'm sure. Just like someone told me, send me a map of where Timbuktu actually is. That's just the kind of listeners that we have. The best way, the easiest way to get this is to go to jointohashem.org. You can click on the little image, the logo there of Life on Purpose. That will take you to our Life on Purpose podcast site. And if you would like to have automatic notifications, you can click on Apple or Google or whatever platform you'd like to use. You can click on RSS feed. That will take you to the App Store, and then you can download whatever you want to do. It's really pretty easy. Or you can just go, I guess, to that website every week, and there will be a new one there. We record on Monday nights, and so probably on Tuesdays we will have that up there. In the first episode, we did some vision casting with the four of us. Last week, introductions of by Daniel and by David Covert, and this week was introduction by Ryan. We're kind of working out our mechanics, our communication, our flow, all those things. So the flow of episode 3 is much better than episode 1, and I'm really proud of the guys. I really am proud of the guys of where they're going to with this and how they're stepping up. So share that, please, if you would. It is geared to young adults specifically, but I think that older, you know, older people, like our, you know, I mean, I'm on there. So I think that there's some great wisdom that's coming forth in those programs. Also, young, you know, teenage area, probably get quite a bit out of it also. But this is the thing about the podcast. There's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of podcasts now. Even if you type in Life on Purpose, it brings up 100 podcasts. So we really need your help in sharing this with people. Sending it out. Maybe you know some young people that, you know, you've been trying to talk to. You know, maybe they would, it may click with them. So you never know. You never know until you share it. So if you go to jointohashem.org, you can go then to the website directly, and each one of the podcasts has a share link. So you can just click that share link, cut and paste, email it to somebody, and they can subscribe on their own from there. All right, thank you all for your help in this, your ongoing help, which makes everything possible to begin with. Let's get into the Torah portion, Kitesa, when you go out. And verse 10, when you go out to war against your enemies, and Yudhe Vave, your Elohim, hands them over to you, And it goes on from there, and I'm not really going to go in. Well, I will get into a little bit of that. But here, the Torah portion takes it for granted that there's going to be two things in our lives. Number one, it takes for granted that there will be trials, there will be difficulties, there will be wars, there will be enemies, there will be things that we have to go through in life. Mankind for 6,000 years has been trying to get back to the garden. This whole thing of utopia. There's been religions, there's been civilizations that have all been about this utopian thing. Well, that's called eternity. I don't even see that as the kingdom per se, but is that eighth day, that which is the complete restoration of all things. Until that time, we're going to have struggles in this life. I remember the adage that was said to me years ago, that life is not a playground, life is a battleground. So if you treat a playground like a battleground, or a battleground like a playground, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a pretty confused life. Now, if you are in a battleground and you treat it as a playground, it could actually cost you your very life. So taking life serious, but understanding the other aspect of this, it says that when he hands them over to you, that it is predetermined in the scripture that we're going to have battles, but we're also going to have victories. There's nowhere in these words that says, now, some of these battles you're going to win, and some of them you're going to lose. No, what we're being told here is that every battle that we're brought to, it is predetermined for us to win. That's pretty good odds, actually. You know, it's kind of like Israel in the Six-Day War. They don't even teach about that war in military academies because there's no way for them to teach the strategy. The strategy doesn't make sense in an earthly realm. So we come into this not expecting to have a defeat, but expecting to have 100% victory. And that is because we treat the battleground like the battleground that it is. And we look to the one, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Now, it does talk about what happens after the victory. There are a couple of places in life that we are most vulnerable in. One of the places is when we, in a place of a battle, yes, we're vulnerable. But in the place of a victory, I find that times of victory are where we're most vulnerable. If you've ever gone on a diet and had great success, or you've done some kind of exercise program and you've had great success, or you've had a business venture or something like that and you've had great success at it, that is the time in which you're most vulnerable. Specifically, I mean, most of us have done a diet at some point in our life. And what do? You hit the mark. You know, I made it to the goal. I won. And then you go to the restaurant and blow the whole thing. And it's like, you know, the next morning you feel so bad. It's like, well, why did I ever do that in the first place? Moving forward in and understanding that the victories are that's a place of vulnerability. And we need to be careful in this, and I'll let you can read this on your own about this woman that this person finds. What do I get from that? Guard emotional connections. Guard emotional contacts. Our emotions lie to us, do they not? Have you ever, you know, I think that's a very basic principle for anybody that's lived any amount of time, that you look back over your life and you see that many of the mistakes that we made may have been in a purchase of something or, you know, or a relationship, because we let our emotions get involved to the point that our emotions can override truth. So make sure in life that our emotions are kept in check for the best, to the best of our ability. I'll go through just a number of things as we walk through this Torah portion. It goes on and says in verse 18 about disciplining. Wow, I tell you what, there's a lot of, I go to Walmart, which I got to do later in the day, and I want to walk around with a billboard on me of Proverbs 13:24 that says, spare the rod, spoil the child, because there's some children running around that need some discipline. But I dare say the reason why they're running around needing discipline is because their parents need to be spanked. I've seen a lot of parents and grandparents running around. They're the ones that need to be taken out to the woodshed and give a real good spanking because of what they are modeling to their children, their grandchildren. So, it's not always the child's fault. Let's look to the parents and see that, maybe that's the problem. That if you do not have a disciplined life yourself, going back to the first part of the Torah portion, if your life is chaos, then don't expect children to walk in discipline. Very simple. If I'm not walking in discipline, then how can I possibly tell another person, not ask, but tell another person to walk in discipline when I'm not doing that? So the best place to begin this discipline process is to look in our own mirrors and model discipline. I find that when you model discipline instead of chaos, that other people desire to rise to that level. Many will along the way. Of course, in verse 22, if someone has committed a capital crime and is put to death, then hung on a tree, his body is not to remain all night on the tree, but you must bury him the same day, because a person who has been hanged has been cursed by Elohim, so that you will not defile your land, which Adonai your Elohim is giving you to inherit. It's interesting that this word, this verse was written, thousands of years prior to the Roman occupation of Israel, prior to, as far as we know, execution upon a stake. And so this is a verse looking forward to the work of Messiah. Now, without going into a lot of commentary on that, I just want to read some verses to you. Romans chapter 5, if you want to follow along with me. I'm going to read 7 or 8 verses. And these verses go along with this. Because it is Messiah, I believe, who took the curse upon himself. Now, Christianity is, of course, taught that the curse is the Torah. Give me the verse that backs that one up. No, it's not there. The curse is the law of sin and death. That's the curse that he took upon himself, which is what the scriptures, that's what Shaul, Paul, was talking about. So starting in verse 6 of chapter 5 of Romans, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, the Messiah died on behalf of ungodly people. Now it is a rare event that someone gives up his life for the sake of someone righteous. Although possibly, for a truly good person, one might have the courage to die. But Elohim, God, demonstrates his own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. Therefore, since we have now come to be considered righteous by means of his bloody sacrificial death, how much more will we be delivered through him from the anger of Elohim's judgment? For if we were reconciled with God through his son's death while we were enemies, how much more will we be delivered by his life now that we are reconciled? And not only will we be delivered in the future, but we are boasting about Elohim right now, because he has acted through Adonai Yeshua the Messiah, through whom we have already received that reconciliation. So the Torah portion here, in instructing us that if a man is hanged upon a tree, then there is a curse, that he is taking a curse upon himself specifically so that we may not defile the land. So he's taken our sins upon himself. So just meditate on those words on this Shabbat, maybe of Romans chapter 5, and consider this, that while we, and this is the part of these verses that is so difficult to understand sometimes, that while we were yet sinners, he had already, if we go to Revelation, Yeshua slain before the foundations of the earth, which means that before man was created, since he declares the end out of the beginning, that before man was formed, before Adam and Eve were formed from the dirt of the earth, before he breathed into them, he already made a way for the redemption. So it's not that we come and go, okay, well, I've got to fix this. No, he saw us in our sin, in our unrighteousness, and said, I've already done something to it. I guess to take it into a very simple term, and this is, I don't like to use analogies like this because they water down the truth, but let's say that, you know, you go out and get a go into debt over something, and all of a sudden life is changed and you can't pay it back, and somebody is you know, they're knocking on your door and they're going to repossess your car or whatever it is, and there's someone there, maybe a parent, maybe a relative, maybe a friend, who says, you know, when you took out that loan, I kind of thought it was a bad idea, but you weren't listening to me. So I went ahead and did something. I opened up an account, and I've been putting money into that account ever since you made this bad decision, so that when it came time for you to come to the reality of what you've done, there's already a way made for you to pay the debt back. Here's a check for it. Your debt is paid in full. That's, in a natural sense, that's about as close as I know of a picture. That there was nothing you did. You were not deserving of that, of a person taking of their own funds to do something like that for us. That's in a minuscule way, the love that the Father has for us. Now, chapter 22 goes into some very practical issues of life. First of all, is how do we treat our neighbors? I've got a neighbor that has cows, and occasionally those cows will get out, and I've got his phone, I've got his cell phone in my contacts, and I'll call and say, Benny, your cows are out. And he'll go, thanks, Mike, I appreciate that. He has a new calf as they is calving, one of those two, little cow season. And so usually, you know, Kathy will be out walking the dog. I will. I'll see a new calf. And like, Benny, you got a new cow? Yeah, Mike, I know that, but thank you for calling. Sometimes it's like, I didn't know that. And so, you know, looking out for other people, respecting your neighbor. And then the verse that I just love this in verse 5, a woman is not to wear men's clothing and a man is not to put on women's clothing. For whoever does these things is detestable, detestable to Yahweh your Elohim. This does not mean that, that a woman I do not believe this. That this means that a woman cannot wear a pair of jeans or whatever. Okay, because if we looked at it in the actual context, nobody in that day was wearing Levi's. I blew that one, didn't I? No one was wearing Levi's, including the Levites. They were all wearing dresses. Okay, guys, I mean, that's just the truth. They were wearing robes, which is just another name for a dress. So if you want to take today's culture and put it into that, you need to be kind of careful. Okay, so what's this verse telling us? Bring order instead of chaos. Okay, bring order to the table. Don't bring chaos to the table. We live in a day, do we not, of confusion. Not only are people confused about themselves, but I'm confused about them sometimes. You know, back to the Walmart parking lot. You know, I know I'm kind of infatuated with Walmart parking lot because I see things and try to unsee them there. Sometimes I kind of wish that I don't miss wearing the mask, but blinders would be a wonderful thing. And I literally was walking into Walmart the other day. And it's like, I don't know what that was. I really have no clue because there's confusion. Confusion, chaos, as this world departs from Torah as it has been. You know, consider the possibility that it's not about man-made climate change, but it's about man-made decision change. That the world, though we could argue that the world has not been extremely Torah observant for quite some time, but it's getting worse. I'm speaking specifically of the United States. The United States has been departing from the very basis of the Torah, you know, in the departure of the Ten Commandments, when prayer was taken out of school, when the Ten Commandments were taken down from town squares and things like that, the debauchery of this country, the United States. And what do we see here? We see confusion. We see confusion in weather, various things. There's some interesting rabbinical writings regarding this, that this confusion in the natural, in the this realm that we live in, actually causes that increase. And I think Brad Scott would have talked about that quite a bit also. I was in total agreement with this. We look at verse 6, which is called the least of all commandments. And this is the one about if you see a bird sitting on a nest, then you can take the eggs, but don't kill the bird. And this is about respecting life. It is that the bird will be able to have more eggs. It's just a fact of life that birds, the same as in humankind, you know, this is creation itself. But if you kill the bird, then you are killing generations that would have been from that bird. This is the, we'll get into this in another place, about the cutting down of fruit trees. What happens when you, you know, you can pick the fruit, but if you cut down the tree for the fire, you're going to starve to death. So respecting the life going on, and this we could of course get into, and I'm not going to, but the whole war over the killing of children. I won't even say abortion, the killing of children. I am totally and completely pro-choice. I want the child to choose, and that cannot be done if the mother. Yeah, and I know that there's people I'm talking to that have gone through some things like this. I'm not in any way being judgmental to anyone. But, you know, when we walk in the truth, then our lifestyle, the things that we do, our ideas, our thinking, it should all change. While we were yet sinners, okay, We all have things that we've done in life that were under that while we were yet sinners that He died for us. So if you walk in guilt because of things that you've done in life, remember this is a Shemitah year. This is the forgiving of debts. The word Shemitah is literally to lay it down. That's one of the translations of this word. And so this is a good time in the month of Elul, coming up to Yom Teruah, to lay down the guilt. The Father is not, and I don't know who I may be speaking to here, but the Father is not desirous of you to continue to carry that guilt, because if you are in Messiah, if those words of Romans chapter 5 are a part of your life, then He has laid down the guilt. If He's laid it down, there's really no reason for us to carry it, is there? Okay, moving on. Verse 8 is if you build a house, you're to put in, you know, in that day they would have had a roof that would have had, it was a place of agriculture, it was a place of growing things, and you were to put a railing around it. So it comes down to a very basic principle here is be responsible, right? Not just, well, the person fell off the roof and broke their neck and died, but, you know, they should have known that they were on a roof. I mean, I'm not responsible for that. This is about being responsible for our actions. And with that is a kind of a favorite verse of mine over in chapter 23. I use this in preparedness a lot. You must include a trowel in your equipment. And when you relieve yourself, you're to dig a hole first and afterwards cover your excrement, for Adonai your Elohim moves about in your camp to rescue you and to hand over your enemies to you. okay, family show here. It says He walks around in our camp, in our congregations. We're coming up on Sukkot. He walks around in the camp. Don't leave a mess for Him to step in. And am I speaking of a, you know, in a literal sense or a spiritual sense? Yes. Don't leave a mess for Him to step in. So take care of relational issues. Back up. Take responsibility for relationship issues that may arise. There's a reason that Sukkot only lasts 8 days. And that is because we probably couldn't stand each other after that. It is His grace that it doesn't last for 2 weeks. You know, everybody gets there on the first day. I've been there. I've been in Sukkot that there's 1,000 people at. You get there the first day, it's like, hey, wow, great, awesome, you know, amazing. This is wonderful. Praise God, Baruch Hashem, all of these things. And about the, you know, fifth or sixth day, it's kind of like fish, you know. You bring fish into your house, and after a few days, they start to smell a little bit. So it's the same with relationships. We have to be careful. And, you know, it's not always everybody else's fault. I'm serious. It's not always everybody else's fault. You got my point? Yeah. We need to take responsibility that are other people stepping in some things that we're leaving behind. I'll just move on from there. Verse 20 of the same chapter is, it talks about the, if you lend money to your brother, and this is coming up on the Shemitah, debts that we have to other people. Maybe you've given a loan to somebody in your congregation, somebody that's part of the family of Israel. You've given them a loan for something. You know, it doesn't, it does, there's no real wiggle room here in this. It says, first of all, that you're not to charge interest to that person. And second of all, that at the end of the 7 years at the Shemitah, that we're to forgive the debt. So if you loan something to someone and they haven't been able to pay you back, you still forgive the debt. But it's, I know. I've had to do this myself personally. You still forgive the debt. That doesn't make sense to us in our natural mind, does it? Well, that's why we're not told to think with our natural mind, but to think with His mind. Put on the mind of Messiah, which is about forgiving of debts. So maybe you go to the person and you say, you know, I'm going to forgive you this debt, but understand that, you know, you didn't pay it back. This doesn't mean you can't have a conversation with someone. Don't guilt them, but take it as a learning experience. Take it as a teaching experience to teach them. And I saw someone post the other day that, well, maybe this student debt forgiveness thing is good because this is the year of the Shemitah. Don't rely on the Torah system to free you from the world system. Okay? If you have a car loan and you come up on the Shemitah, don't call your credit union or bank and say, you know, the Torah says you've got to forgive this. Well, you didn't sign a Torah contract with the bank or credit union, did you? So don't expect the Torah system to take you out of the world system, to release you from the world system. You have a debt. Now, this is about that we treat people within our communities different. It says specifically that if you loan something to someone else, that you can charge interest. But let me ask you a question. Let's say that someone that is not a part of Israel gets into a problem. They have an issue. And they come to you. And you say, okay, I'm going to loan you the money. Well, what's the interest charge? Take this as an opportunity for witness. And say, you know, the scripture says that I have every right to charge you interest on this loan. But I'm not going to treat you as a foreigner. I'm going to treat you as a brother. And because of this, I'm going to give you an interest-free loan. Maybe that's, you know, true with somebody that you, you know, you're coming up on the forgiveness thing with the Shemitah. You can go to them and say, you know, I know that you don't follow, it's apparent to me you don't follow the scripture, but I'm going to choose to treat you as a brother. How much of a witness that could that be to somebody? Is it possible that that would? I was listening to Ryan Cribbs was of course on the podcast, and he was talking to us last night, giving his testimony about how someone treated him as a brother and not as a foreigner. It was fascinating, and that caused him. That caused him to actually start looking into the scripture and to be reconciled with the anger that he had toward the Father, and has now become the incredible blessing that young man is. So you never know how treating somebody as a brother, even though they're not, may be the road to reconciliation with them and the Father. chapter 24, verse 16, and it says this: fathers are not to be executed for their children, nor are children to be executed for their fathers. Each person will be executed for his own sin. Now, there are some of the anti-missionary groups that will use this. I've had numerous conversations with Jewish friends of mine through the years. This is the verse that many will go back to say, this thing of inherent sin, that Adam was given the sentence of death because of his disobedience. And so each one of us, you know, in Christian theology, is that, and I understand the concept is, to me, is a scriptural one, but I think the way it's explained leads to some misunderstanding, that we are then created in the image of Adam, not in the image of God. Now, Adam was the only one that was created in the image of God. Everyone from Adam, after the fall, was created in the image of God, in the image of Adam, which is of a sinful, rebellious person. So when it says, let's go over to Rome, back to Romans here, back to Romans chapter 3, and we're going to tie this together here, if I can find Romans chapter 3, still comes after the book of Acts. Love it when I turn right to something. Romans chapter 3, starting in let's go to 21. But now, quite apart from Torah, Adonai's way of making people righteous is in his sight has been made clear, although the Torah and the prophets give their witness to it as well. And it is a righteousness that comes from Elohim through the faithfulness of Yeshua the Messiah to all who continue trusting. For it makes no difference whether one is a Jew or a Gentile, since all have sinned and come short of earning God's praise. Or as I remembered it in King James, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God's grace, without earning it, all are granted the status of being considered righteous before Him through the act of redeeming us from our enslavement to sin that was accomplished by the Messiah Yeshua. Goes on from there. You can read the rest of the verses. So here's the concept here, that we were created in the image of Adam. But am I guilty of Adam's sin? Well, according to the Torah that we just read, the answer is no, that I'm not guilty of his sin. But I'm guilty of walking in his footsteps that produced sin. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, of Elohim. A person will not be separated from God based upon Adam's decision of rebellion. A person will be separated from God based upon they're walking in Adam's footsteps and leading to their own rebellion. In Messiah, we are now transformed into the image of God. So once again, if someone tells you that we are created in the image of God, no, we are not. We are created in the image of Adam. But in Messiah, we are restored to the image of God. We were restored to that place prior to the fall of Adam. Now, we still walk out the things of this world. To quote Paul, the things that I want to do, I don't always do. And the things that I don't want to do, well, sometimes I do them. This is called still living in this war. This war of the flesh that is told to us in the first verse of this Torah portion. That this earthly system that we're walking in is going to be a war. It is the scriptural concept, though, that as, once again, Romans would say, we are more than conquerors. That the victory that is ours is already established. There's not a single war that the Father leads us into that He is determined for us to lose. He is determined for us to have a 100% track record at the end. Now, the problem lies in when we don't follow His instructions. That leads to the defeat, which leads to repentance, which leads to restoration. I hope that all makes sense there. Now, to finish this out this week, a verse that is intriguing, has intrigued me for many years, and one that we actually talked about with the guys last night on Life on Purpose podcast is this. In last verses here, chapter 25, verse 17, remember what Amalek did to you on the road as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you by the road, attacked those in the rear, those who were exhausted and straggling behind when you were tired and weary. So the verse here, if we look at these words, David Stern, I think, translates them very well, of exhausted and straggling. It is the word shattered. Those who had been shattered by the experiences that they had gone through, by their own lives, their own wrong choices. Their lives had, in some way, fallen apart. I think this speaks as well to us in this day as it has in any generation, that we live in a society of shattered lives. People have gone through extreme things in the last few years. Let's all face it, the last few years have been difficult. There's been the loss of relationships, the loss of loved ones, the loss of communities. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We live in a day of shattered lives. The enemy comes and seeks to find those ones that are shattered. Amalek is always searching out for the shattered lives. It says those who are faint. How do you become faint? It is lack of nourishment, lack of water. So if a person is shattered, their tendency is at first not to go directly to Scripture and say, you know, if I would just come back to the disciplines of Scripture, of prayer, of relationship with God. No, you're shattered to the point that you're not able to figure out how to put it back together yourself. So the tendency here is to kind of separate ourselves from relationships. Separate ourselves from the Word. Separate ourselves from prayer. Separate ourselves from the relationship with the Almighty. And in doing so, what have we done? We've come to the place of growing faint because we're not drinking of the living water. We're not eating of the living Word. If you don't eat or drink, you will become faint. So this is about people that, though they were still picking up manna, it wasn't, they were eating, but not being nourished by it. This is more than just getting up in the morning and opening up the scripture and reading a couple of verses and walking on. You can read the scripture without gaining any nourishment from the scripture. You can pray and never gain nourishment from that prayer, because it's just kind of a, you know, throwing something in your body, kind of like stopping by the local gas station and walking in and grabbing a candy bar and a Coke. It may satisfy you for a few moments, but the end result is going to be a worse situation than you were in the first place. And weary. The word here is suggesting this is weary due to labor. We just had Labor Day yesterday. I won't get into all of that. I think we should celebrate Business Day, Small Business Day. That would be a good one instead of, I did get into it. I'm going to pass on that one. But I was on a meeting with Barry Phillips last night where he was talking about, this is a day to consider the labor that we do unto the kingdom. But let's face it, guys, in a day that a lot of people aren't listening, a lot of people don't want to listen. You know, you're in a situation and you want to talk about what the Father's done in your life, and they're like, whatever, you know. You can witness, you can do whatever, and you toil, you work. And in the end, it's like, am I actually getting anywhere? Is there any fruit? Sometimes you go for a long time without any fruit. And those are days, those are times that, that you can grow weary. You know, this is not a commercial, but I so appreciate it. I get an email from someone or a text from someone, and you never know. Maybe it was that day, you know, that I was growing a little bit weary, and I have those days. Kathy knows that. Daniel, our son, knows that. We work together in ministry. You have those days that you're just weary, and you never know. You never know what just reaching out to somebody. I did this just the other day. I just sent somebody a text and I just let you know I was thinking about you. And they sent me a text back and said, wow, that came at just the right time. When the Father, listen, I guess this is the easiest way to say this. Listen for Him. And this means get quiet. Ryan and David both talked about this last night, of being quiet. And we're going to do a whole podcast on this about being quiet in the days of noise. Be quiet and listen for His voice. And maybe you'll hear this, just a thought. How about calling this person? Or how about sending this person a text or an email? Or, wow, what an old-fashioned thing to do would be to write a note or send a card. And just say, I appreciate you. I want you to know I was praying for you this morning. I don't know what you might be going on and what might be going on in your life, but the Father knows where you are. You never know what that might be to a person. Because it may be that Amalek has singled them out, is seeking to destroy. And you may be the person that is going back, doubling back, and saying, I think that I remember somebody, and the last thing that I saw from them is they were straggling. They looked a little shattered. I think it's time for me to go back and find them. Let us not be and this is for our communities, this is for our families, make sure that there's always a rear guard. I do that when I'm in Israel. There's always a rear guard, and because I don't want someone straggling. Be the person that takes yourself out of the front of the pack sometimes and becomes the rear guard. That may be the most important place in the whole camp. Shabbat shalom, Shavua tov, Have a blessed, prosperous week. Bezrat Hashem, God willing, see you again next week. And I'll be at with Barry on Shabbat. That is a live service, as long as Barry, as long as the technology works. It's a live service. And remember, go and you can subscribe to our podcast and support that. I believe it's going to be a great thing. So until next week, be strong.